that we really want to do, and Patricia, and make sure that we're covering these basics. So I'll go ahead and do that. I'm gonna start my own timer so I don't go over here. All right, communication and active listening really go hand in hand. We're gonna talk about being professionally persistent, building that trust, and there's a variety of people and organizations and levels that we need to build trust with, having our confidence that we need to share our services well and to share our business well, in some presentation skills. And those that have seen me over the years with the Schiller Success Principles, you'll see that as well. But communicating and active listening really talks about effective communication. It's essential to any relationship. So hang on one moment. And that really, obviously is personally and professionally. It is a two-way street. It's not a monologue. And those of us that are in sales, that's a difficult thing to handle as far as, wanting to listen first. It's just, we want to get excited. We get excited about what our services are, and we automatically want to jump into that. And it's not a monologue, it's a two-way street. We want to make sure that we're listening to understand, not to respond. That one in itself was something that was a challenge to me, because if you're like me, when I'm sitting with a decision maker or maybe a one-on-one or whatever it is, as they're having a question or a concern or an obstacle, as they're talking, I'm in my brain already formulating a response, right? So if you're like me and that's been a challenge for you, I'm just going to encourage you to really listen to understand what they're saying, and don't listen to formulate a response right away. Okay. So that helped me tremendously. And then getting a commitment on when and how to communicate is really important. Now, when it comes to communicating and listening in the decision maker arena, getting the appointment in person or on the phone, communicating there, we're stating the reason for the call. We're stating the time frame that we're needed. We're stating the available date. So this is a quick thing. And again, if you're in person, like my friend Katie out in Montana, who most of her, she does a lot of walk-ins, or if you're like a lot of us now, of course, in a code environment where we are doing things on the phone, these are really just the staple things that we want to do. The whole goal of a decision maker appointment, when we're setting appointments, is to get the appointment. The more we say on the phone to get the appointment, the more that we leave the door open for them to object to the appointment, if that makes any sense. So often people will say, well, they didn't want to meet. Well, why is that? We told them too much on the phone. They prejudged and predetermined in their head what it was going to be and made a determination not to set the appointment. So it's important that we, the whole goal is just, can I stop by? There's something that may or may not be a good fit for you. That type of stuff. So we want to make sure we're keeping that concise so that our goal of getting the commitment is accomplished. We want to make for, the decision makers, we all struggle with this. I just had this happen with me. Someone I was training, a professional trainer, last week, and she says, yes, this is the decision maker. For those of you who have been doing this a while, we've all run into this. They say they're a decision maker, and either they really aren't the decision maker, they're maybe a benefit analyst, or they're a benefit person, but ultimately they don't make the decision, or it's a team of decision makers, and or it's the decision maker, but that decision maker has to involve influencers within that decision, if that makes sense. So are we getting those people in that meeting? Are we communicating that clearly? And one of the things that, I picked this up from the old ACLIVIS training that we did in Dallas years ago, and I love this. Is there anyone else whose opinion you value or who is instrumental that you would like to include in our meeting? Getting that on the phone right up front, and then I reiterate it again when I'm there. I'll say, I'm bringing in a packet. Is there someone else? Who else are you going to be including in the meeting, or who else whose opinion you value, or who else is vital to, the success of your organization? And then I'll reiterate that. And once I get there, I'll always bring a couple extra decision maker packets and say, hey, is so-and-so here, or such and such here? Or once again, just say, is there anyone who's on site today that you'd really like to join us in the meeting? Okay. Sometimes it's great to bounce an idea off of someone else. And sometimes that can just be a little bit of a push to get the correct people in that room and in that meeting. Because we all know what happens when we get done with the decision maker process. We've had the best meeting ever. Our kids go to the same school. We go to the same church. We, everything's clicking. We got the personal connection. They, you know, it's the right size company. It's the, it's everything we dreamed of. It's just going so great. They're nodding their head and they're loving what you're saying. They get it. And then they say, this is awesome. Can you, you know, contact me in 2 weeks. I need to check with, and then fill in the blank. I need to check with my partner. I need to check with the spouse. I need to check with, you know, our, you know, medical practice manager. I need to practice, you know, meet with the HR vice president or whatever, the owner of the company, whatever that I need to meet with. There's where you discover that everything you just said is now they're wanting to take the information you spent time articulating the points that you need them to hear. And then they're going to go in with information and say, hey, and they're going to interpret it, only to come back and say, oh, the owner just doesn't see it. Well, the owner doesn't see it because you or I wasn't the one to be able to articulate just the points that we need to equip them with what they need to make that decision. So very, very important to get decision makers. I've had it set up many times in a meeting where they will say, you know, I've got to have somebody join us, or I've got this or that. And I always will try to reschedule the meeting. That's my first thing I try to do. Can we get a call together when that person comes back from vacation? Or how about your team? Can we do a quick Zoom call? Can we do a quick conference call? And I've done that before in a pre-COVID environment many times. Push comes to shove and they're wanting to check with people or wanting to survey or whatever. I'll ask for a focus group. Hey, do you have 4 or 5 people, you know, that you rely on in the company and whose opinion you value that I could just meet with really quickly and run through this with them? Well, that I can tell you, I can promise you that has never failed. If I'm allowed to do what a quote focus group, those people will always come back and say, we need to do this product, because they're going to want it themselves when I'm done with my 15 minute presentation. So just some tips there and trying to get those people together and trying to get a decision. None of us like to stay in the land of maybe. We want a yes, we want a no, right? Okay, use the agenda, you know, in an opening statement. I know some of you on the line here are great at using an opening an agenda. I know a lot of my colleagues do that. I don't necessarily use an agenda for them, but I do use an opening statement. That opening statement might sound like, I might ask a question first, like, you know, how does absenteeism, or how does employee performance, or how does someone taking the day off work affect your bottom line? How does the distracted employee affect your bottom line, right? I'll ask that question, or I'll say, you know, do you have anything in place currently specifically designed to help employees stay focused on what they do best, right? So two kind of key questions, and then I set up the agenda, so to speak, but in a conversational way. You know, I'll just say to them, you know, in our 15 minutes that we have together, would you mind if you just take a couple of minutes and just share with me some of the things that you do currently have in place, and especially if you have anything designed to help the employees' performance help reduce absenteeism, keep distractions out of the workplace. And then I'll take the next few minutes just to share with you what our two services are and how, you know, they can help not only you as a company, but can help your employees and their families save time and money, have peace of mind, make better decisions for their families. And then you and I can come to an agreed upon next step. Does that sound like a good use of our time? And that just, first of all, they're shocked that anybody that they view as a salesperson comes in really wanting their feedback and not telling them what the next step's going to do. Just saying to them, you and I will come to that next step. Now, I know what I want the next step to be is either a pre-enrollment or an enrollment, but we're involving them on that. And then, of course, confirming that and sending the thank you card. And that's all about the communication process. Now, it comes up with communicating in the logistics, what I call it. Our friend Jimmy Paris years ago set up the pre-enrollment checklist. Oh my gosh, we've used that so much over the years. I have my own like pre-enrollment checklist when I'm working with somebody, especially a new person. There's just key elements that you don't want to leave out. And then there's nuances that we don't want to leave out. And that can be anything from communicating what type of a room you're going to be in and all of those things. But the main things is we want to communicate. I want to have either a second meeting or a second conference call to literally speak with and go over those influencers. What do I mean by influencers? I'll give you an example. That was shared with me on the trainer that lost a big chunk of business. He was good friends with the president of the company. They were buddies. He was a trainer. He's had their client for years, great client. They hit some troubled time. The chief financial officer came in and said to the president, we need to nix this training budget, $80,000. And there went his $80,000 client. Why is that? He didn't reach the influencer, which was the chief financial officer, when it came to understanding what his services did to their bottom line. We can do the same thing. Think about it. We want to make sure that the company is behind this, and that's putting emphasis on what the service does for the company first. And if those people, if the billing person and the payroll person and these other influencers aren't on with you, you will have difficulty getting in. And if you do get in, we'll have difficulty getting back into that company. So just remember, communicating logistics and pre-enrollment is so, so important. We want to make sure that we're covering it with those people. On the enrollment process, again, communication is key. Now, I know there's something on LS Engage. I've saved some of them that I use all the time, and that is about getting something out there that says, I love using the have you ever type pieces. You know, if we're going to communicate something, if it's a voluntary meeting, that we don't want a voluntary meeting, but if that's all we can do, then I want to put up a bunch of have you evers as, you know, have you updated your will? Have you had a traffic ticket? Have you, you know, the things that they use all the time. Same thing with ID Shield. Have you been a victim of a data breach? You know, things that maybe they're not thinking about. Are you concerned about all of the streaming that's going on now? And so I want to put that on a flyer that says, here's where the meeting is. And instead of saying, hey, come and listen to Legal Shield, it's going to say just all the questions and here's the meeting, right? So we want to communicate that. We want to equip our HR people or our managers or whoever our contact is with information that they don't have to create when they're sending out emails. Same thing with the post-enrollment as you're following up. We want to make sure we're communicating. Servicing is so important, and we want to establish this really in the decision-maker process so that they understand what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Getting that buy-in right up front that says, yes, I plan on being here once a year. I plan on being here twice a year. Or, you know, I'm going to communicate with you about your exit interviews. Do you have them? What's your new hire process? Can I be in on that? What can I provide you? We're looking for additional services. We can provide additional services such as a will workshop or a seminar or getting the most of your benefit. Again, communicating that up front and then following up with any concern that you might have regarding that. The second one about being professionally persistent, man, this is just a one little teeny tiny fine tune that we go from being professionally persistent to being a pest. And the real key difference is getting their permission to follow up. You know, we've heard Darnell Self say it so many times from the stage about, do you mind if I keep you informed, or do you mind if I follow up? Well, the same thing is here, only we're going to be very specific. What's a good time for me to follow up? Is that Tuesday or is that Wednesday? And then asking them how. Am I texting your cell phone? Am I sending you an email? Am I calling you? As long as we're getting their permission, and when I call them back, I say, well, it's Tuesday at 10 a.m. This is the time that you'd asked me to follow up with you. Now, they can't come back and get aggravated about that because you're following their instructions. So it's just a little bit of a twist, but we want to make sure that we're being persistent, because a lot of times it's just not the right time for a client. It might be logistical issues, seasonal issues, or whatever. Building trust is huge, especially, well, it's huge in every market. Building trust is huge in your marriage and in your family, with your children, your friends, your community, our business, and really every level of our business. We have one chance to make a first impression. That's not just a cheesy little saying. You know, you really want to get out of the gate on a good foot. So it comes down to this: honoring what you said you would do when you said you would do it. That is the best way to build trust, because forgiveness is something the good Lord requires us all to do. It's not an option. He tells us we must forgive others for us to believe he's going to forgive us. But trust takes a track record. It takes a track record. We can forgive instantly. Trust is going to gain that trust. It's going to take a little bit. It takes a track record. So that's what they're looking from us. What is our track record? Well, here's the deal. If you said you're going to take 15 minutes in your decision maker appointment and you take 45, they're not going to believe you, and they have no reason to if you say that your enrollment's only going to take 15 minutes. So it's important that we start right out of the gate doing that. Okay. That's so, so important there. Set your timer. If it goes off and they want to extend the meeting, that's their request. That's awesome. That's fine. But if you just ramble on for 45 minutes, even if it's just a great conversation and you're clicking and whatever, you have to remind them that you are honoring their 15 minutes or their 20 minutes. I'll write it and I'll say it at the beginning of the meeting, to honor your 20 minutes, I'm going to make sure that we don't extend that unless you would like to. And so that way there's no way to mess that up, if as long as we're being open and honest and transparent about that and honoring what we said. And in the enrollment process, when it comes to building trust, again, getting there early, we know these things. We want to engage with the employees. We want to get that trust. We only have a few minutes in the particular enrollment process to really build that trust. And again, if we're listening to understand what they're saying in the meeting room or in the break room or even online on Zooms, if people are coming in early, just really be attentive and try to build that trust based on some of the things that they're saying and what they're experiencing. We want to share that service, our service, of course, with a passion. You know, you can't fake this stuff. You either have a passion for what we do or you don't. Now, you can get a passion by using our services yourself and by listening to other stories. Because, man, nothing fuels me better than when I'm at a down moment, or I'm just like, oh, I can't do this. And we've all hit that place if you've been doing this business for any time. And it's okay that you hit that place. It's okay that you hit a wall, you plateau or whatever. But the one thing that gets me going is I get a story from somebody that, you know, got their money back from the airlines instead of a voucher, or they were able to, and maybe in a very difficult time when someone's passed away, be able to use our services to help navigate through estate planning or whatever it might be. And that fuels me to keep the process, the enrollment process, as far as building trust, genuine and keeping it fresh. And that's the way that we could do that. You know, obviously we don't oversell. We want to handle any kind of dissatisfaction quickly. There, again, when you're building trust and somebody pipes up and says, oh, this service doesn't work, or, you know, you're going to, you know, address that they've had a problem. It sounds like you've had a problem. I want to hear every detail about it, right? I want to hear every detail about it. Because while we're not a perfect company, we have a perfect system in place to handle that challenge. That's why I'm your agent. That's why I want you to communicate with me. So right after the meeting, would you please stand by? And I want to follow up, because if it's something we've done, we can fix it. And that's the difference of this program versus going down the street to hire an attorney that we might not be satisfied with, right? So just important to let them know you're the person to go to. And again, follow-up is key. Working with brokers and third-party administrators, oh boy, this is so important with trust. You know, if you've been in Legal Shield and maybe you've never worked with a broker. Now, when I first started in Legal Shield, we called on companies. We did our warm market, hot market, cold market, any market. We kind of went into an all-out massive action, just based on the situation our life was in at the time. And we weren't really familiar with working with agents. I just had relationships with the companies. But more and more, even small companies, they're having their broker handle a lot of things. And that gives us options. We can buck the system and end up not getting the business that we should, and more importantly, not even reaching the member who really needs the service, or we can learn how to build trust with them. And if you're like me, you want to at least think you have control over this stuff. But honestly, there's things we just don't have control over when we're working with brokers, because the client may say, I want to work through my broker. The broker might say, well, we don't have time for you this year. And even though we know that that's a detriment to us, because no one's going to share our services like we do, we know that. But the bottom line is, when they bring us clients, or even we run into them and now they're on board and want to get commission on it, it is their client. In their mind, it's 100% their client, and they may let us play in the same sandbox if we play nicely. So I just want to tell you up front, you want to build trust, no matter how frustrating it might be. Build that trust. You know, you want to follow their protocol. Find out about them. Not every broker or their TPA is the same. Set up a conference call or Zoom with them. Make sure they understand how things work. Some brokers are handling things through LS Engage now, and some of them want to do some things on their own. Others just want a plan summary and stick it in the unemployment, you know, in a benefit guide. And you and I know that's not really going to sell our product. And if it does sell our product, it doesn't really lend to not just participation, but good utilization, right? If we're not saying they have you evers, you can stand up there all day long and say you have unlimited consultation and document review, but to the average consumer who's never used an attorney, that means zero, goose egg. We come in with have you evers, and now we've established a value proposition. So even though we don't have control over that, we can set up the training and those types of things. Always on a professional mode, making sure we're communicating completely with them. I copy the brokers in when I communicate with a client. If the broker has that protocol there, see, my timer just went off, tells me I've got 5 more minutes. So using the calendar invites, being respectful of their time. And boy, I've seen this so many times. And we don't ever want to make a third party look bad. Really, we don't ever want to make someone else look bad. It doesn't make us look good when we make somebody else look bad. And believe me, I've been in positions, and I'm sure many of you have too, where the broker has flat out made errors, big errors. I had one that put in a Hyatt Legal MetLaw plan, changed the logo, and put our said it was our product. So I had wrong plan design, I had wrong pricing, and the client was upset. And boy, how tempting is it to say, you know what, this isn't my issue. But you know, the time to correct that is when there's not a third party there. You know, you can go back and say, you know what, let's find out what happened here. I can take the onus on me and say, you know what, seems like there was a communication problem here, some misinformation. So let's just convene after the enrollment and make sure that I get this straightened out and make sure that this doesn't reoccur. You know, it's better to be kind and respectful than to insist on being right. You know, as much as my flesh wants to say, no, it wasn't my error. It's just better to handle it in a way. And I'm not saying just let people go carte blanche and walk all over you. I'm just saying there's a time and a place to make those corrections. Just remaining flexible with them is very important. They may have time for you at an enrollment. They may decide that they don't have time for you in an enrollment, and it can be frustrating, but again, we want to always respond positively. And then we also, in building trust, we want to make sure, even with our home office staff, everybody, our colleagues, you know, we're not above anyone else. Good Lord establishes that. There's no one he's no respecter of persons. We all matter, and we all should be treating each other with respect. Sometimes passion can be mistaken as being condescending. So we just need to be mindful of two things. What comes out of our mouth, is it building up or is it tearing down? Very rarely is there a neutral ground. Just, are you building up or are you tearing down? So we want to think about that introspectively. And then also extending grace. Boy, especially now in an environment where so much has gone on, and you can't, it seemed to have a difference of opinion without it equaling some sort of hatred and everything that's going on. People are so tense. They're spending so much time with people that maybe their own family, that all of a sudden they realize they don't want to spend that much time together. Whatever it is, let's just extend grace, because you and I need it. So you and I need to extend it. The confidence level, just make sure again that you're going to be confident in the service we have when you use it yourself. You're definitely going to be confident in it. Your ability to connect with others, your ability to solve problems, your ability and your reputation and your presentation skills, those are things that we can tackle with personal development. You know, field training is crucial. There's a difference in being confident and being arrogant. So be mindful of that. Make sure that we know the difference there. And then on the presentation skills, I think this, most of us have this down, but we just want to make sure that getting people in the room is more important. And that logistics step or that pre-enrollment step, if we don't get them in the room, our presentation skills really aren't going to matter. So the focus is there, but when we do presentation skills, here's your basic 101. You know, we're going to dress accordingly. We're in a more casual environment now. Respecting your time frame again, please have a 20, 15, 10, and 5-minute presentation ready. That doesn't mean talking faster. I don't know if I talk faster, Jimmy Parrish or myself, but between the two of us, we're pretty fast talkers. And just to speed it up and cram the same amount of information in it isn't doing anybody any good. We want to make sure we know exactly what points to put in when someone comes up at an enrollment and says, oh, I'm sorry, the Aflac person took all of your time, so you have 5 minutes. You know, you can't get all mad. You just got to know what to say in 5 minutes. So video and record yourself. You're not going to like it. If you're like me, I just hate looking at myself in my videos. I hate hearing myself. But it's important so you can make corrections that you need. And go to someone that you trust. Go to someone that you're not going to get offended. Get some thick skin. I call it rhino skin. And let them critique you. You know, so if somebody comes to me and says, I have no time, I will literally say, if you've ever been to like an open enrollment, and at the end, they say, I'm sorry, you don't have any time. I always just say to them, do you mind if I introduce myself? And they'll say, oh, well, no, nobody's going to say, no, I don't. No, you can't introduce yourself. So I will take that I'll grab the microphone or whatever it is, whatever kind of environment I am. I'm saying, you know, hey, my name's Lisa Schiller. I'm your Legal Shield and ID Shield go-to person agent. My booth is in the back there. I got some great chocolates for you. And you know, all those things we've been thinking about and wanting to do, like get updating our wills. And gosh, I know if you're like me, you get traffic tickets and you're concerned about data breaches. And, you know, just mention two or three things. Please stop by and see me. I've got some great information that can help you save time, money, and give you peace of mind. No one's going to say, oh, wait a minute, that introduction was 20 seconds and it should have been 5. That alone will at least drive people to my table, or at least have them look at the information that I have. The other things we know, again, about the eye contact and using relatable stories and being flexible. I'll end it with this, Stephanie, before I turn it over to you. This is my Schiller success principles. I can't say it really well, but these are the things that we based our business on from the very beginning. Number one, we think prayer is important. We want to ask God to add his super to our natural. I am telling you, where no matter where you are with your faith, if you have one, I can promise you that this has been huge for John and I, because I know there has been miracles in our business because God has opened a door that no man can shut. And I also pray for wisdom and discernment for our corporate staff and for, you know, for all of us in the field, our businesses. Just prayer is a great thing. So I start out with that. The second thing is having passion about the service. And again, you can't fake that. If it's real, it's going to come through as genuine. Performance, and that means you have a tracking system in place. If you want to write 50 memberships this month, then you start with the end in mind. You know, you're starting with how many memberships you want, back it up to how many enrollments you need to have to achieve that, back it up to how many decision maker appointments you need to get the enrollments, and then back it up to ultimately how many contacts do you need to make to get that appointment. That's what you track. To track that, the rest will follow. Partner, get a workout partner. John and I have different workout partners. We want to stay happily married, and we are. Even in the COVID environment, we are. So get a partner that's going to keep you accountable and you can accomplish and keep each other accountable and on track. Being professionally persistent, we talked about that. And then flat out, the only reason we're where we're at, other than the grace of God, is that we persevered. My favorite scripture is Galatians 6:9. You know, don't weary in doing good, because in due time you're going to reap a harvest if you never give up. With that, thank you so much for your time and attention tonight. And I'm going to turn it back over to Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate you. Oh my gosh, there's so much I got out of that, even though I've heard it. And even though I've done some of those things, it's nice to have the refresher and, oh yeah, I need to be doing that. So thank you so much in helping pour into our team tonight. I truly appreciate you taking the time to do that. So again, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, everyone.
I also want to remind everyone about our networking team call. It's going to be happening in about, well, less than 30 minutes. So make sure you jump on our weekly networking call. We have our new executive spotlight, or new spotlight executive directors, that's going to be our featured trainers tonight. And you can see Jeremy waving in the background. So with that, I'm going to sign off. So always to keep God first, your family second, Legal Shield third, and everything else will take care of itself. God bless, and see you in 25 minutes.